But we had some wonderful service. Thank you all for coming back. Call up a friend right now and tell them to join in with us. If you don't have the app, then you can get the app so that you can join us here each week, because we look forward to bringing you, amen, this worship experience in our Sunday service. Amen. God bless you. Y'all may be seated in the presence of God. I don't know how much fuel I have left here, having, as I say, this morning already, being up this morning, but I'm gonna give God all that I got. Y'all pray, amen. And we're gonna see if we can truly get a word from God today to all of our family members. As Sister April already said, thank you all for being here with us. Now, also, I want to encourage, first of all, I want to thank those that support the ministry. Your giving, we are trying to make the presentation a better experience each Sunday. We're ministry, amen. And we talked about this on last Sunday. We're ministry. We spend time, trust me, doing ministry. Even some of the people that are here don't know how much ministry that they do each week, but it's their faithfulness and their commitment and their loyalty to this church that helps us to do ministry. So I want to encourage those that are joining us here, on a virtual church, get in on the blessing of being a blessing to this ministry. Amen. Amen. Get in on being blessed by being a blessing to this church ministry. Amen. You have ways that you can give and you support ministry, I promise you. Don't worry about something that you're going to do for some big guy sitting in some big office doing big things. God give me strength to do well every day. Amen. And to God be the glory, for 21 years, never been on a salary or any receiving from this church in the way of payment. Amen. Since the inception of Nations Harvest, it has always been 100% for ministry. So whatever we do is going to go back into ministry. So I want you to have the opportunity to be blessed by being a blessing to us. You have the ways that you can give. And of course, you can always, if you're virtual, you can ask Sister Tracy. She's right there with you. How? And she'll step you through. She'll help you through. She'll take your calls on the side and outside of the service window to speak with you on how you can get that done. Amen. And I want to thank you in advance for even thinking about it. I want to thank you in advance for even thinking about it. Now, so let's move forward and let's get this word today. I want all ears. Amen. I want all ears. And I want all spirits directed right here. Get into this word. I'm going to go to the book of John today. Very familiar to you. And it is in John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, where I'm going to rest for a moment. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. And I want all ears. I want you to put your all into this. I want you to put your all into this. I want you to hear this through. All right? I want you to hear it. I want every bit of attention. If you got to take a break, then take the break now. Don't take it later, because I don't want you to miss anything. John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1, it says, very familiar to you, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is Jesus speaking. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So verse number 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said back to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from this day forward, from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth thus. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse number 12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 13 verses, John chapter 14. On last Sunday, I stood and I proclaimed before you and I stressed some facts. This Sunday, I want you to say this with me. I'm going to go ahead and give you a subject. I want to give you a subject to work with. I want you to say this with me. Make this as a request. Come in me, Lord, like never before. Come on, make that request known. Now, I don't want you to say that to me because you're making this, Lord, come into me like never before. Now, say it without me asking you. Come on, one more time. Come into me, Lord, like never before. On the last Sunday that I stood before you, I stressed the fact that as you walk with God and as I walk with God, we must be prepared to understand divine revelation. Within the parameters of your normal everyday life, because if God is to reveal himself, he does not reveal himself to our sensual perception. That is, God does not reveal himself. He does not expose himself to your natural sight, to your natural touch, smell, or taste. I, nor you, nor anyone else have at any time seen God. We have never seen God. I have served him. I have worshiped him. I have prayed unto him. I have bowed down before him. I have stretched out before him. I have cried to him. But I have never seen him with my naked eyes. My sensual perception, which is my sight and my touch and my feel and my smell and my taste, my sensual perceptions have never seen him, nor have they grasped a hold of God. That's because my sensual perception only helps me in my world. The things that help me to complete my day-to-day life, what I see, hear, touch, smell, and taste. But my sensual perception does not operate in the world of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And God is a spirit. So when I communicate with God, I must communicate with him not in my sensual perceptions, but I have to communicate with God in the spirit realm. And when we understand that, as I placed such great emphasis on that on last week, when we come to understand that, now I can move forward with that being understood. We must also understand that God does not ignore our human feelings. Are you able to make that transition with me? I've never seen him, and I cannot communicate or identify with him who God is a spirit in my sensual perceptions, which includes my feelings. But at the same time, in the transition, you must also understand that God does not ignore our human feelings. Say that with me. God does not ignore my human feelings. As a matter of fact, God gave us our feelings and our emotions, and he gave them to us for a reason. And living by faith, are y'all listening carefully? Living by faith does not mean that we should ignore our feelings. They are not evil by themselves, but what we allow our thoughts to dwell on may be negative and cause us to get into an unhealthy overload of unhealthy emotions. But our feelings and our emotions are not in and of themselves evil. God gave them to us. And because we acknowledge our feelings, it does not mean that we are not walking in faith. Can you say amen? I say that because somehow the teaching in the church and the practice of the church have relegated their Christian journey to the fact that the children of God are supposed to be strong at all times. We've taught that we're supposed to be just at all times. That's what we've taught. We have committed ourselves over the age of the church to thinking that experiencing humanly weak moments is equivalent to having little faith. Just because I'm having a moment, just because you're having a moment, it is nothing for another believer to come up to you and charge you as though you're wrong because you're having an emotional moment. A moment that engages your feelings in the way that you look or the way that you act. But I want to let you know today from this sacred desk, there are some circumstances that can be so cataclysmic. They can be so intrusive, so hard, and so forceful, driving into our life, that your humanity shows weakness no matter how saved you are. Can you say amen? There are some things that can happen to you. There are things that can happen to you that while you are in the midst of giving prayer, that you can abandon that prayer, stop praying, and utterly fall apart. All of us experience a certain amount of pain, and all of us will experience pain. And all of us are going to react to pain. I like to tell you this way. It's a whole lot of things that may not get me, but don't let me hit my toe. Because if you want to see me, forget all about that God gave his life that I might have a right to the tree of life. Let me just hit. I'm sorry to put that in, but I got to get you to a point to where you're going to respond. There is something in you that is extremely sensitive to the point that you're going to experience pain in one manner or another. But however you react to pain and however you process whatever it is that you're going through right now, please remember this. Remember this. Go ahead and say, I'm going to have some pain. I'm going to have some painful moments. I'm going to have some things that blindside me. But the preacher told me to never forget that the Lord is going to meet me right there. Come on and clap your hands. Where is he going to meet you? Right there at the point of at your most difficult moments, trying moments, conniving moments, those moments when you feel, what did I just tell you to remember? That God will meet me right there. Where? Right there. Somebody say, right where it hurts. He will meet me right there where it hurts. Whether shall I go? That's what the prophet said. Whether shall I go that I can escape your spirit? He said, whether I flee from thy presence, if I ascend to heaven, you're already there. And if I make my bed in hell, come on by somebody say, he'll meet me right there. And you know, when you think of hell as a part of your everyday life, we remember that Jesus descended from Calvary to go down to Hades to set the captives free. But I need to talk to some people who live a real life, not no TV reality, but I'm talking about Decatur, Alabama, Cleveland, Ohio, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm talking about the real places in Lackland, Florida. I'm talking about the real places. I want to tell some people that not only did he go and he rescued them, but I have been through some real hell in my life. See, y'all gonna make me, I'm gonna have to make this personal because I see y'all still standing too far. You ain't close enough yet. That moment that you went through that bad relationship and that bad breakup and you almost did something that could have put you under the jail. Somebody say, you just don't know how much hell I've been through. You sit there and you took it while whoever it was put it on you with everything that they had, and you took it. But God will always meet you right there. It's an interesting dynamic then, because in John chapter 14, Jesus speaks explicitly to the fact that I'm going to leave. Are you with me? I'm going away. I must go away. And when I go, catch this, you're going to hurt. When I go, I'm going away. I must go. And when I go, talking to his disciples, you're going to hurt. I need you guys, fellas, listen up. Understand me now. I'm not going to change my plans about leaving because you're going to hurt. I'm going away. I must go away. And when I go away and I leave you, you're going to hurt. But I'm not going to change my mind about leaving just because you're going to hurt. Why, you may ask? Because it's essential for me to leave. Why are you leaving? I got to leave. In order to give you the power that I have with the Father. You see, what he gave to me, it is for you. And if I don't leave, I can't give you what has been given to me to give to you. I can't give it to you in my physical state, in my corporeality. With my body, I cannot enter into you. Are you with me? So if you're looking for me to stay here with you, I can only stay here on the outside of you. If I go past year number 33, year number 34, I'm still going to be on the outside. If I stay here, year number 35, I'm still going to be. Year number 36, 37. As long as I stay here, I'm going to have to stay on the outside of you. So if you're looking for me to stay here, then I can only stay here on the outside. There is no way that I can internally stay here with you because my physicality prohibits me to do so. I cannot get inside of you as long as I'm in my corporality. You see, two bodies cannot occupy the same space or the same place. Amen. They cannot do it at the same time. Now, if I'm standing here, there's no way, Eddie, that you're going to get in this same spot. The only way that you can get in this spot is if I move. Now, it's important that I be so close to you that I don't stand beside you, but I must be inside you. So the only conclusion is that I got to go away. Now, when I go, your visual of me is not going to be there. You're not going to be able to see me sensually. This is where we often get mistaken, because here we are, people of faith. Let me see the folks that consider themselves a child of faith. Oh, that you and you and you and you. We get mistaken in our church experience because we think that we want to see God's power. Amen. We want to see with our eyes God's power. Oh, you don't have to say amen. You waiting for me to get up here and make somebody with one leg shorter than the other, both of them become, because you think that's God coming in power. We want to see the power of God unfold before our very eyes. We want to see miracles, wonders, and signs. Don't you want to see it? Yeah, you do. And when you see miracle signs and wonders, then you feel like the power of God has come down. Well, did you know that miracles and wonders and signs, catch this, are all sensual? You can see it. You can behold it. They're all perceived by sight. Water turned to wine. I saw it. Woman with the issue, I saw it. They're received with my feelings. They're received by something that I can measure and put in time. Somebody say miracles, signs, and wonders. Now let me tell you something interesting about your miracle signs and wonders. When Satan decides to deceive, and when he decides to take over as an antichrist, did you know that when he come, I give you one time to get this wrong, and I know you're going to get it right. Guess what he's going to use to deceive the household of faith? Miracles, signs, and wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all of his powers and signs and wonders. So don't you find it interesting that the devil uses our sensuality and our senses to deceive us? So more the reason that God, Jesus, has to differentiate himself from that great deceiver. And whenever you appeal to someone's sensual perception, then you're running after what is called sensational. I'm finna work now. I'm in too deep. I may as well work now. So now, if you are going to be guided by what only appeals to the senses, then that means that you're not running after Jesus. You're running after sensation. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And when I see it, it's then that I'm going to feel it. Mm-hmm. So now, the deception in the church is that the church can still follow the sensational because the sensational is what is visible. No one ever says, I want to believe a church with power. No, you ever heard anybody say, I want to believe a church with power? No. They say emphatically, I want to see a church with power. No one wants to believe a church. They want to see a church. So that means somewhere, I've learned this, and this is what I did. I learned, and I don't know about you, that the just doesn't live by sight, but the just shall live by faith. So now, I don't have to see it to know that the power of God is working in the dispensation. Jesus is saying to those whom he loved, I understand how you're feeling. I understand, he's saying now to you, Peter, James, John, all of you guys, and all of you, I'm saying this to you. I know how you feel about me leaving. And it's not a good feeling. I know that you're feeling some kind of way. Yeah. You ever made somebody feel some kind of way? You know, I'm leaving now, and I know you're going to feel some type of a way. That's what y'all say. And Jesus is saying to them, he says, I know y'all going to feel some type of a way. And so now, when I look at this, and he says that to them, I'm thinking about during this pandemic, I heard people, and I heard church people, I heard people of faith running around, and I heard this more than one time. I heard somebody say almost on a everyday type of conversation, they start putting these APBs out on God. Like, where are you now, God? Y'all y'all know what an APB is, right? All points bulletin. Anybody, where are you now, God? Where? And you know, you just jump right over in the cart with the agnostics and with the atheists and all of them, and they just looking at you. Yeah, there you go. I thought so. And they just waiting this whole time. We are so quick to put an APB out on God. Now I need everybody to point at me because I'm not talking about anybody else. Somewhere, even if you didn't say it, you had it in your expression, like, where are you now, God? Of course, the answer is a simple one. God hasn't gone anywhere. God has not gone anywhere. Y'all feeling me now? Why? Because number one, he's faithful. Number two, he is consistent. And number three, he never changes. So if he is faithful, if he's consistent, and if he never changes, then you don't have to look for God. You don't have to look for him just because you don't see him. So here is the problem, and that's where the great dynamic starts to unfold. The problem is because your senses cannot ascribe to his presence. My senses is not a meter or a measure to God being right here. My seeing does not tell me whether or not God is right here. My hearing, my tasting, my smelling, my touching does not ascribe to God's presence. You say amen. Because circumstances changed, now here you are questioning God about his credibility, about the credibility of your relationship with him, because you're judging him by your circumstances. Oh, I know it, because I got a whole lot of Marthas in here. Lord, if you had have been here, then my brother Lazarus would not have died. I see people at funerals wondering where God was when their loved one transitioned. I see people in the hospitals, Lord, come on up in here. How do you think you got there? I know. You think it was your car. You think it was Uber. You think it was something like that. How do you think you made it in there? And here you are just now showing up. As a matter of fact, when the person that's lying in this bed was in extreme and excruciating pain on last night or this morning at 2:30 a.m., you were snoring. And now you're going to get up here at about 11 o'clock after you finish the things that you got to do in the morning, and you want to come in here and invite me to this hospital room? Don't you know? Oh, my God. You see, here you are. Lord, come on up in here. We need you now, Lord. You just beckoning, putting out these APBs, sending everywhere. Anybody seen God anywhere? If you had been here, all of the emotions that Martha had, she got all emotional. Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But I've got a record to account for this morning. If you want to be victorious, if you want to be triumphant, if you want to claim success over everything that God places in your hand, then you cannot change your commitment to the word of God at the sight of difficulty. You've got to be steadfast and unmovable, and even though the circumstances are saying one thing, your mouth ought to say another thing, your hands ought to do something else, and you ought to shout with a voice of triumph that the Lord, my God, he is on my side. Where did I say you ought to do it? You ought to do it in the face of circumstances. Right there, when you're having your darkest moment, you ought to just right there say, I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. I'm going to continue in the works of the Lord. Notice now what Jesus does. It's first he says, now, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Now, you believe in God is a statement. Mm-hmm. So he makes a statement, then he gives a promise. Let not your heart be troubled. I gotta go. I know you're gonna hurt, but I'm not gonna change my plan. So I'm making the statement. You believe in God. Now watch this real good. The statement, you know how to believe in God that you don't see. And he didn't ask them. He said, you believe in God. So in other words, he's telling them something that he knows, that he wants to let them know, that I know that you already know. Because you believe in God, I got to work right here. Now remember, the God of the scripture never operated with idols, right? And he said, you believe in God. Now, he's talking to some men who is believing in a God who did not allow ever idols. He did not want anybody to create anything that symbolized him. So when he told them, you believe in God, he was not talking about some stone idol. He was telling them, you believe in a God that you cannot see. He made the statement. Somebody say he made the statement. So now you're already believing in a God that you cannot see. And I don't want to get too heavy with this, but if you ask me why, I'll tell you why. If you ask me, but you don't want to know, I tell you anyway. You see, when God created man, here's what he said. I'm going to create this man in my own image. So while I'm creating man in my own image, I prohibit him from ever making an image of me. But I'm making him in my image, because I want him that I'm creating to be the image that I want of myself. He cannot make any graven grave, no sculptured image, because the only image that I ever want of myself is him. That's why I'm making, where's my church? I need some folk that love the word. I don't need, don't take a snapshot. Don't take a selfie. Don't go buy one from Walmart. Don't buy one from TJ Maxx. Don't be buying one with the supper. Don't buy one with them people around the table. Don't buy one with the beard, without the beard, the blue eyes, the brown eyes, the black hair, the brown hair. Don't get any of them, because I'm creating the only image. I'm taking and making my own selfie, and the selfie that I'm making of myself, I'm creating out of the dust of the earth. And I'm making him in my image and in my likeness, and that's the only image that I want of myself. I wish somebody would get it. So when you step out to walk, you are walking as an image of God. You are the idol that he wants himself to be idolized as. And that is, somebody say, a living idol. I am in his image, and God wanted somebody and something that was living. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but you can take just a Krishna, all of his fruit and his vegetables, bananas and carrots and apples and oranges, and you can peel them and lay them out, and all they're going to do is sit right there and rot until you bring some fresh ones. You can holler out to Buddha as loud as you want to, but I want you to know that I serve a living God, that I don't have to bring him any fruit, vegetables. I don't have to bring him any goat, sheep, or any other sacrifice. All he wants is my praise, because I am his living idol. I have made you a vessel of praise. So somebody who represents him, who speaks for him, who praises him, who will declare who he is, you got a God that is not up there. I'm finna come up out of this room. I can't talk for y'all, because y'all sitting down too quiet. Y'all too comfortable in y'all seats. Sit right there. I'll praise him by myself. I serve a God who's not up there. So just because you looking up there, I don't know whether you got problems with your eyes or what your problem is, but I serve a God that's right here. He's right here, right here, right here, right here. So Jesus says now, what did he say? Three words. I gotta go. I gotta go. Say that with me. He gotta go. Now, I want you to tell the disciples, come on, send a message over to them. Tell them to let him go. Come on, tell them one more time. Let my Savior go. Because y'all know what's going to happen if he don't go. You know what's going to happen to you if he don't go. So I need you to get some ebullience right now. And tell the disciples, let my Savior go. I understand that you've had him now for 3 years. You've walked with him for 3 years. I understand that you've been up and down the shores of Galilee with him for 3 years. You've watched him give sight to the blind. You've watched him heal the brokenhearted. You've seen him heal a woman with the issue of blood. You've blind Bartimaeus the sight. I know that you've seen him feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. But you can measure that. But I need him to operate in the power of his resurrection, because my life is more than just what I eat and what I drink. I know that he turned the water to wine, but I'm not a wine bibber. Oh Lord. But there's no way now that I'm going to stay here. I'm going to leave you. And when I leave you, your heart is going to be troubled. But holler to him one more time. What you going to tell the disciples? Tell him to let him go. He's got to leave here. Let him go. But I want you to remember
that he says you have already believed in an unseen God. And if you believe in him, believe ye also in me. Oh Lord, it's good now, Holy Ghost. Go ahead and use me till you use me all up. I heard him say, if you believe in a God that you have not seen, believe ye also in me. Because what my Father got, you can get it if I don't go in my Father's house. Watch this now. He made a statement and then he gave a promise. The statement was, you believe in God. Now here comes the promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, that's Okaya in the Greek. And Okaya means in my Father's domain and in his dominion, in his omnipresence, no beginning, no ending, in his Okaya. Y'all don't live in an Okaya. Y'all live in a house. But in God's Okaya, there is no beginning and there is no end. In the Okaya, no first and there is no last. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in his Okaya. In my Father's house are many Monias. Moniah is mansions. Y'all don't hear me. In his expansiveness, he got something for you. You thought a mansion was bigger than a house, but a house is larger than a mansion. In his expansion, he got a seat for me. In his expansion, he got a mansion for me. In his Okaya, he got a Moniah for me. All shucks, y'all. In his Okaya, he got a Moniah for me. Oh Lord. And there ain't enough room in his Okaya. Oh Lord. There ain't no limit in his Okaya. There's one for me and one for you. Now somebody tell somebody, I got a Moniah in his Okaya. I've got a mansion in his house. Oh shucks, Holy Ghost. I've got a mansion in his Holy Ghost. Do y'all hear me? It's not monetary. It's not real estate. I'm not worried about the interest rates. He paid the price. Do you hear me? I got my mansion. Oh Lord, I gotta tell thee to my mansion. You don't have to hate on me for my mansion. Come and get your own mansion. Come on and get your own mansion. Come on and get your own mansion. Don't worry about mine. You got your own. Come on, baby. Get in your own Moniah. Many mansions. Oh, Lord. You have that one. That's your mansion. That's your mansion. That's your mansion. But the only way you get it, I've got to go. I've got to go. I don't think y'all ready for where I'm about to take you, because I'm not through yet. How many here used to be hooked on something? How many here used to be hooked on something? Some drugs, a man, a woman, money, everybody. Anybody here, you ever been hooked on something? Have you ever been hooked on something? Have you ever been hooked on something? Candy. soda pop, all such ice cream. But if you ever been hooked on drugs, the only way that you'll get off of drugs is if you got to go through what's called withdrawals. Somebody say yeah. Withdrawals means that you're gonna hurt trying to get off of it. You're trying to get over him. He left you scarred. Now you're trying to have a relationship with somebody else, and every time they raise their voice, you think now you're judging them because of what you've been through. But just because I raise my voice, it does not mean that I'm about to hit you. Oh Lord, you have withdrawn. You. Come on, all of y'all. You having withdrawals now. That's why the Lord, I'm going to need you now, Cassie. You got to come out of the booth, baby. I'm going to need you now. That's why the Lord had to go, because of my withdrawals. Because that's where my pain is, trying to get over something that I'm trying to leave alone. Y'all don't hear me. So here's what we do in the church. We tell the Lord, come on Lord, come on Jesus, come in the house now, sit in my lap. I'm Jesus, you're the believer. Oh Lord, now every time that you get ready to go back out there and do the same thing, all you do is get up and go. And if I stay with you, that's all you're gonna do is have me to come by your house, so that when you get ready, all you've got to do is just go. Come on and sit down again. You come to church this morning, by tonight you're somewhere else doing something else. But wait a minute, when I go, oh Lord, now you Jesus, oh Lord, now you are me, you're you, and I'm Jesus. When I go away, I'm coming again, and I'm gonna get on the inside of you. Now try and do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. Come in me. Come in me. Come in me. Come on, tell the Lord. Come on inside of me. Come on, Lord. Hold me. Hold me. Guide me. Guide me. Oh, yes. It's a difference, ain't it? Let's try it again. Oh, Lord. Yeah. You call Jesus when you get ready. But soon as you get through with him, you going back. Do what you want to do. Am I right about it? But Jesus says, I'm coming to come inside you. Here I go now. Take me a step up. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness in high places. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But as long as I got Jesus on the inside of me, all hell can break loose. Step me up again.